We are looking at the focus of our position in Jesus. And so in verse 26, some translations, it's a continuation of the verse or of the sentence from verse 25. Others, it's a break, because there is a change in the thought, but there is a word there used for that change of thought. And the word is for. And so if you read it and you think for, well, then that's a second part of a sentence. But if you drop out that for and you just say it had a purpose of guiding us to this new thought, then it begins a new sentence. So that's why some of you might not have a for in there. But he has been talking about because faith came. Since faith has now come, we are no longer under a guardian. And then why is it that with faith we are now no longer under the guardian? Well, here we are going to get the reason in verse 26. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. In the speech I read to the kids earlier, I didn't read all of it yet because I wanted to save some for you all. After Abraham Lincoln talked about how there are people who are basically immigrants to the United States that were not there for the Revolutionary War, them and then their descendants, though they are not, they were not part of the struggle, they still receive the benefits of the struggle. They are still part of that benefit. And basically, Stephen Douglas had an attitude of, and he actually expressed, and we have him saying that the people of America are equal to the people of England. To which Abraham Lincoln said, according to his construction, you Germans are not connected with it. You know, if we're only as equal to the people of England, then truly what Stephen Douglas was doing, and need I remind you, Stephen Douglas actually won the Senate seat. Abraham Lincoln lost. Abraham Lincoln's ideas were not popular at that time. But he says, I ask you in all soberness, if all these things, if indulged in, if ratified, if confirmed and endorsed, if taught to our children and repeated to them, do not tend to rub out the sentiment of liberty in the country and to transform this government into a government of some other form. Those arguments that are made that the inferior race are to be treated with as much allowance as they are capable of enjoying, that as much is to be done for them as their condition will allow. What are these arguments? They are the arguments that kings have made for enslaving the people in all ages of the world. Turn in whatever way you will, whether it come from the mouth of a king, an excuse for enslaving the people of his country, or from the mouth of men of one race as a reason for enslaving the men of another race, it is all the same old serpent. And I hold, if that course of argumentation that is made for the purpose of convincing the public that we should not care about this should be granted, it does not stop with the Negro. I should like to know if taking this old Declaration of Independence, which declares that all men are equal upon principle, and making exceptions to it, where will it stop? If one man says it does not mean a Negro, why not another say it does not mean some other man? If that declaration is not the truth, let us get the statute book in which we find it and tear it out. Who is so bold as to do it? If it is not true, let us tear it out. And there were cries, no, no. Let us stick to it then. Let us stand firmly by it then. Lincoln's argument is the same argument that Paul's making. Kind of makes you wonder if maybe Lincoln got it from Paul. If the Declaration of Independence does not apply to all people, and here's the crazy thing, not just all people in the United States, all people. If it does not apply to all, then it is worthless. In the same way, Paul says of grace, if it is not for all, if it does not have a benefit to all, it is worthless. If you have to be a Jew to receive it, it's bunk. Just as if the Declaration of Independence only meant white men, it was worthless. It has to apply to everyone. And everyone has to be able to receive the benefit of it, even if they didn't fight to get England to acknowledge it. In the same way, none of us have done anything to receive the grace God gives us through Jesus Christ. And I see in those that would say, well, it's only good for the white man, it's built on the white man, it's for the white man, which is what Stephen Douglas was saying. That's very similar to those that say, well, yeah, Jesus Christ came to save, but He came to save Israel. It's for Israel. It's for the Jews. And I guess, you know, we're seeing that some Gentiles are coming to be saved, so as long as they become Jews, if not in fact, then in practice, that'll be good enough. That would be akin, and it's even offensive to say it now, but that would be similar to saying, well, if a bunch of black men just put some white stuff on their face, maybe they'll be okay and they can participate in our democracy. That's not the way it works. They're either free and endowed with certain liberties by their Creator, or they're not. And in the same way, we are either saved in Jesus Christ, or we are not. And Paul's argument has been, we are saved. All of us. You don't have to be a Jew. Not only that, that as we come to our faith in Jesus Christ, as through Him, just as Lincoln was arguing that through the Declaration of Independence, all men are free. Through Jesus, all people are saved. And if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you are one of His people. Just as if you happen to be in the United States and a citizen thereof. You don't have to be born here. You just have to choose it over your own nation. But you come here, and you can even be somebody from another nation. You can be here as a tourist. And whatever the laws of your land were, they don't mean squat to us here, because here the Declaration rules. And so somebody can come from another country and they treat their wife or they treat their children in a certain way, they better change here. Not because we want to change everything about everybody, but because we have certain beliefs. And anybody that comes here in this country is free. And that's what Abraham Lincoln was arguing for. And I'm aware of the irony that it took close to 100 years from the founding of the nation to the fulfillment of the Declaration of Independence. Do you know Jefferson, slave owner till the day he died, actually had language in there that everybody understood meant the slaves should be free? He had to take it out for the southern states. Just a little bit of news. Paul's argument here is in Christ Jesus we are all sons of God through faith. Just as a person from Saudi Arabia can decide, I'm not going to follow the king anymore, I'm going to go to America and I'm going to become an American. Anybody can become one of the people of God if they just say, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to repent from my life. I'm going to put behind me all of my old ways, and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to serve Him. We are all sons of God through faith, children of God if you'd prefer. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And this doesn't mean that you have to be baptized to be saved. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying that as you have been baptized into him, as we have become his children, as we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, we are clothed in him. We take on who he is. Therefore, there's no longer either Jew or Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, the Declaration of Independence is all about men. It took well over 100 years for women to have equality. I guess they're still working on it or something. As a white man, I sometimes feel the pendulum has fully swung the opposite way. But I'm an evil person, so because I'm the great oppressor as a white man. 2,000 years ago, through Jesus Christ, equality was given. Equality of the nations. You didn't have to be a Jew to be special to God. Everybody was special to God. You didn't have to be a man. And there was a prayer that Jewish men had. I thank you, God, that I am a Jew and not a Gentile. I thank you that I am a man and not a woman. There was actually a belief in the early church. We're talking like the first couple hundred years. There was a theology that the only way women could be saved is if they became as much like a man as possible. It didn't last, but it was a thinking. It was a thought process. It was a theology that they had that women would be saved by becoming more like men or being as much a man as possible. There was the belief based on Scripture, language about how Eve was deceived, language about how through the men, through Adam, and through Christ. And so the focus was on, basically the belief was that women were inherently evil and beyond salvation. Like I said, it didn't last. But that was a common view. Here he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, all the nations. There is neither slave nor free. One of the interesting things that happened for the church as it spread through the Roman Empire, Christians treated people differently. A Roman who might have slaves, or a wealthy Greek who had slaves who became a Christian and their slaves became Christians, they didn't necessarily end that relationship, but they behaved differently in it. Because there is in Christ no longer slave or free, but we are all one. We have an entire book. We're actually going to be looking at it later in the summer in August. Having a mind blank. Philemon, right? Philemon. And it's all about Paul writing a letter to a slave owner about his slave and how Paul expects Philemon to treat Onesimus, his servant, his slave. There is neither slave nor free, and it doesn't matter. Our church used to be very blue collar, as the, I don't even know if that those terms work anymore, be quite honest. You got guys on assembly lines working with computers and doing stuff I don't understand. You know, I don't know if the language blue collar, white collar still works, but in our description of our church from years ago, that was the description. It used to be very blue collar, but now, at that time, it was more diverse. But we have a wonderful thing, especially in Fort Worth, where there are a lot of people that are wealthy in Fort Worth that are not so pretentious about it. You know? You can have a manual labor job and be fishing buddies with a millionaire. We are equal in Christ. It doesn't matter what degrees a person has. It doesn't matter what degrees they don't have. We are equal in Christ. We are able to read Scripture and to understand it. It's not always the super smart people that do the great work. Sometimes I think the super smart ones, there's too much stuff in the way. The ones who have good faith, the ones that have just, man, that's like powerful mountain-moving faith, seem to be the ones that just don't understand. And you hate to explain to the Scriptures to them a little bit deeper, because they're doing so great, you're going to mess them up. Like the Wile E. Coyote walking on air. Don't let him know he's off the ground. He's doing just great. Sometimes those are the people that are doing the greatest work. They don't know they're doing it wrong. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your job. Not only that, he says there's no male and female. Now, he doesn't mean that we're not talking like what our society's trying to do today, where we're all supposed to use the same bathroom, we're all supposed to wear the same clothes, and you can be whatever you want to be. That's not what he's talking about. What he is saying is in their society, like I said, the Jews had a prayer, I thank you I'm a man and not a woman. He says, there's neither male nor female. It doesn't matter. If anything should trump arguments about what certain people can do in church, this should trump it. Because if we are all equal in Christ, if we are all one in Christ Jesus, if there is neither Jew nor Greek, if there is neither slave nor free, male or female, if it's by grace that He saves us, and if it is a gift of His that He bestows His Spirit on us, if He has done all that, will He stop and then say it is a matter of XY chromosomes whether or not I'm going to gift you one way or the other? I don't see it. If it's His grace, it's His grace. And if it's His grace that says we are all one in Christ, then it's His grace that says we are all one in Christ. And if He says that it's by His grace that He gives us certain gifts in His body, He can choose who He gives those gifts to. And so He has the ability to declare and to determine that the first person who's going to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ would be a woman. In a society where a woman's testimony was inadmissible. Just think about that. A woman's testimony was worthless in court. Doesn't matter if she's telling you the truth. Doesn't matter if she was the only one there. Who's going to listen to her? Nobody. Jesus' first choice to preach the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Woman. It's not the Holy Spirit that says women can't preach. It's man. It's not Holy Spirit says that women... I've heard of churches that there was a wedding and a woman was there to sing and she got up and she got behind the pulpit because that's where the mic was, and the deacons got up and made sure they shuffled her off because she wasn't even allowed. Somehow this space, we should put tape around it. Make sure nobody that shouldn't be here is here. It's ridiculous. Jesus says, or Paul says, in Christ Jesus, we are all one. And he says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. That's why we're not under the guardianship, because we are the children. And remember, it wasn't too long ago, and you got to remember, this was a sermon that he wrote out. I mean, this was designed to be read in one sitting to the whole church. So just imagine, I mean, he was going on about, now he's talking about offspring, or seed, as your Bible might say. Talk about offspring. Notice he's not saying offsprings, just offspring, just one. That's pointing to Christ. What does he do here? He flips it back around. Offspring, singular. You are His offspring if you're in Christ. We are heirs according to His promise. We are co-heirs. Like our celebrations yesterday, You don't have to trace your family back to the Revolutionary War to celebrate the Declaration of Independence. You just have to look at that document, and when you see, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. If you look at that document and you see yourself in that statement, it applies to you. And so you can celebrate its writing and its ratification. In the same way, if you look to Jesus and your faith is in Him and you see yourself in Him, that's all you need to know that we are one in Christ, that we are His heirs. Nobody, just as Lincoln said, it's the same old snake that wants to tell certain people they got to do certain things to enslave one group of people, to enslave another. That's what the Jewish believers in the church in Galatia were doing. It was the same old snake. You got to be a Jew first. It was to enslave them to the law after they'd already been set free by Jesus. Now, we're not going to set off any fireworks unless you want to go home and do that. But today, we're celebrating our freedom in Jesus. It doesn't matter what your work is. It doesn't matter what your skin is. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter what your sex is. It doesn't matter how smart or how handsome or how pretty. We are one and we are saved because of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and we thank You for Your grace in our lives, Your mercy that You show upon us. We thank You that You've saved us and that You have made us one. And we pray, Lord, that we would be one, that we would not require uniformity, that we wouldn't require everybody to like the same stuff or to do the same things or even to be the same way, but that we would rejoice in You and in the ways You've made each one of us uniquely. And we pray, Father, that we would have grace and space for each other to live as You guide us and to serve as You guide us. Lord, help us not just to focus on the freedom we have received, but to give freedom, to extend grace for the freedom of our brothers and sisters in Christ around us. And may we delight in our differences because they point us to You, our creative and generous God. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.